It's not going to surprise anybody that we're going to talk about vision today. And the title of today's message is Unclouded Vision. We're still in the Sermon on the Mount, so turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read only verses 22 through 24, but Jesus is continuing his sermon, and he's still talking about materialism. When you first read these verses, it may not make sense right off the bat, but I'll show you what he's talking about. Remember last week we talked about where our treasure is, and we learned that where our treasure is, what's going to be there also? Our hearts, right. So our hearts are going to be where our treasure is. Our allegiance is going to be where our treasure is. And what we're going to learn today is that the way we view stuff, the way we view the material world, impacts our focus. And it either lets us see God's truth, it lets us see the light of God's truth, or it gives us cloudy vision. And I want to give you a little silly example. I wear glasses. A lot of you guys wear glasses, right? Why do we wear glasses? To see better. What if I did this? I've got my prescription glasses. They're pretty good. So somebody, Gary, raise a number of fingers. Just raise some fingers. All right, he's got two fingers, right? Now, what if I do this? If I look at the world through material eyes, Gary, raise some fingers. I got no clue, right? Because I can't see. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about cloudy vision. We're going to talk about what gets our vision off of God. And Jesus is going to talk to us about material things getting our vision off of God. And he's going to tell us that the condition of our eyes, the condition of what we let in the light, what we let in the truth, is a reflection of what our soul is like. It's what our very inner being is like. So stand, if you will, and let's read Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 through 24. He says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Be seated. So Jesus is still talking about materialism. Remember, he's told us about where our heart is, there our treasure is going to be. The last verse we're going to talk about today is that we cannot serve two masters. He says you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is just the word for stuff. It's material stuff. So he's telling us that we can't serve both God and money. It's usually referred to as money. But it can be anything that's material. So I think when we look at this, we'll see what Jesus is trying to do. Now, we talked about glasses. Anybody here had cataracts? Anybody here had cataract surgery? Was your vision better after the surgery? Yes. All right. And what happens with cataracts? Our vision gets clouded, right? You could be sitting right beside somebody and see simply shapes, movements. So the question's going to be, what's our eyes like? Are our eyes good or are our eyes bad? And we'll talk about what those words mean. But we want to see correctly and we want to see God's truth correctly. This is what Jesus is talking about. Remember, he's telling us we need to be different than the world. We need to be different than the Pharisees. We need to be different than the Gentiles who don't believe in him. And how are we different? Today we're going to be different because we have clear eyes. We have eyes that are unblocked that let us see the truth. They let us see the truth sometimes that we don't like. Liking the truth is not the issue. The issue is what is the truth. We should love the truth. Sometimes it's hard to accept though. But what we'll see today and what he's saying is if we look at the world through the material things, the truth is not going to get through. I will never know how many fingers Gary held up if my eyes are totally clouded over, right? It's not going to happen. So in order to perceive what the truth is, my eyes have to be open and I have to be able to see. My vision doesn't need to be clouded. So let's look at verses 22 and 23 first in particular. Verse 22 says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." So Jesus here pictures the eye as the window to the soul. It's the window through which light comes into a body. And I just want you to think about your windows at home. Maybe all yours are clean. Ours are not all clean, okay? If I'm outside and I'm shining a light in your window and the shades are drawn tight, are you going to see that light? You're not. If the window's bright open, wide, no shades, no dirt, no cat sitting in front of it, you're going to see the light. And that's what he's simply saying. He says, look, the way that you let light or truth into your body is going to depend on how your eyes are. And we know that from practical experience. What this verse means in verse 22, he says, if your eye is good, it means if your eye is healthy, your translation may say healthy. Your translation could say, and this is the best word, if your eye is single. The word is actually single. And what it means is you see exactly what is there, but you are singularly focused on what you're looking at. So you don't see double. You see exactly what is there. And the word bad here means corrupted or malignant. And Jesus is saying if your eye is corrupted or malignant, you can't see correctly. Now, what's it going to be corrupted or malignant because of? Well, sin, but this. That's what exactly what he's saying. He says, if your eye is corrupted because of stuff, because of money, because of material things, then you're going to see the world wrong. You're going to perceive truth incorrectly. So let's think about this. The idea is that if we are being honest and we are open to God, when God's Word says something, we should accept it as true, correct? If we have to filter it through the lens of how does this impact me financially? How does this impact my stuff? Then we are less likely to accept the Word as true on its face. Would you all agree with that? I mean, we do this all the time. We bring our perceptions to reality and we look at things and we say, well, this is what's going on. You ever walk into the middle of an argument and you think you know who's right? And then you listen to the whole thing and you realize, boy, I blew that one. I took the wrong side. Husbands, come on, I get any support for this? I mean, we do that all the time. And then we realize I shouldn't have called my shot because I didn't know the whole story. But that's what he's talking about here. And I want you to think about something. If my view is corrupted or malignant because of money, because of material things, then here are some things that we run into. Remember, I got to keep up with the Joneses. We talked about that last week. That wonderful family that's rich, has no problems with their kids, and has a lovely house and mows their yard three times a week, right? If I've got to keep up with them, then everything that I perceive is how does this relate to my ability to keep up with the Joneses? Well, I can't tithe because they just got the new BMW. Or what about this? What if my goal is to have the best baseball playing son ever? So I'm going to put my son into travel ball. Yeah, I know we're going to miss church, but you know they have travel ball every Sundays and we got to go. If my goal is to have the best baseball playing son ever, then I'm not going to focus on the importance of church. I'm going to focus on when do I go to travel ball. if I base my view of my value, my identity on material things, then things I'm going to do are going to influence that value. I want to know, well, you know, if I work today instead of go to church, instead of reading my Bible, I could earn an extra 10 bucks or whatever it is. If everything is financially motivated, I'm going to see the entire world through that. And you know what the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes? If I'm searching for silver, I'm never going to find enough. I'm going to want gold next. If our worldly view says accumulate, 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 like we talked about last week, I will never be happy, I will never be satisfied, because there's never, ever enough. And what Jesus' lesson here is, you need to be satisfied with the truth that God gives you. So I want you to take that stuff that's blocking your vision, that's clouding your vision, that's corrupting your vision, I want you to take it out of your vision. Have cataract surgery. Take the dollar bills off the glasses. Take out whatever it is that is coloring your vision. Y'all ever wear sunglasses inside? Why not? Because you can't see. When we wear sunglasses at night, it used to be a song, right? You can't see. We take them off. Sometimes there are sunglasses that are so dark, I can't see outside. But the point is, we need to take those off. We need to see the truth. We don't need to deceive ourselves. We don't need to be deceived by the world. We need to understand what the truth is and take it inside. And let it impact us. Because what happens if I'm standing outside and I can actually get a light through here? There's no light in here. It's dark. And I shine a light through the window. You guys got light, right? We can work in light. But if you've blocked that window up, light doesn't come in. You can't do anything with it. And not only does it impact us, but it impacts other people. If we've got this clouded vision, if we can't focus on what's real, what's true, it impacts our view of people. Instead of thinking that person is a child of God, that person is just like me, granted, different gender, different race, different whatever, but they're just like me because they're a saved child of God, we think, oh man, that person has body odor. We had a lot of that at camp this week, so much so that they had to tell people to take showers. But you know, if we look at people by what they can do for us, if we look at people by what value they can contribute to us financially, that's a horrible way to look at people. It totally devalues people. God says, if you're either a child of mine or you're lost, and if you're lost, I want you to be a child of mine. We need to understand that Jesus Christ gave His life for whoever believes in Him, rich, poor, black, white, blue, green, I don't care. If you are whoever, He gave His life for you. And we do things like we pick up and we say, well, they can't contribute anything. They don't have any money. They don't have any time. Gosh, have you seen their background? They're awful. They had a horrible childhood. And you know what? God uses all of that stuff. But if we're looking at it only through that vision of what can they do for me this way, we get the wrong view, don't we? And you know, sometimes if we think that we're only in this for the blessing, we get to thinking, well, God would never call me to do something that would lead me into being poor. God would never call me to do something that would lead me to actually sacrifice something, would He? I mean, He wants me to be happy and prosperous. That's what we hear in society today. Let me read you John 12, 24 through 25. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Here's the lesson. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jesus is telling us, get your priorities straight. Get your priorities straight through how you view the world. God will always call us to get out of our comfort zone. He's going to call us to sacrifice. Remember, what does it take to be a disciple of Jesus according to Jesus? Deny self, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Look at that order. Deny self. Boy, we don't hear that one very often, do we? Number two, pick up whose cross daily? Ours, yeah. Pick up your cross daily. Something may have to die daily. What has to die? Pride, envy, lust, self-will. All those things may have to be crucified daily. And then you can follow Him. That's what He wants you to do. But in order to do that, we have to see the truth. And here's the kicker. And Jesus knows this. If we look at the world through these materialistic glasses, if we look through eyes that see only material things, or there's a stuff-shaped cataract in our eyes, we will not see the truth of the gospel. It won't happen. And why is the question, and the answer is because we don't want to. If stuff is that important that it has become the focus of our vision, then we don't have the light inside. Verse 23 says, "But if your eye is corrupted or malignant, your whole body will be full of darkness." If you don't let the truth in, if you don't let the light in, then the body's not going to have light. It's going to be dark. We're going to be sitting there evaluating everything based upon the way that we want it to be. What about service? What about giving? What about putting others first? What about sacrifice? Any of that? We're not going to have any of that because it doesn't fit our world view. It doesn't fit our focus in our vision. So He's telling us, I want you to have clear vision. I don't want it to be messed up with stuff. You see how that relates to what He's been talking about with materialism? He says, I want your vision to be unclouded. I want it to be unhindered. I want you to see the truth for what it is. I want you to make sure that your eye is good. I don't want you to be like somebody who's got a bad eye, a malignant eye. I want you to have clear vision. So just as the eye impacts our entire body, what we take in impacts our entire life. So what are we taking in? You know, we talk about materialism, but it can be anything. What are we putting into our brains? What are we watching on TV? How important is that kind of stuff to us? How important is it that we have to get our favorite shows? What's in our favorite shows? You know? What are we letting into our mind? What's coming in? Is it light or is it darkness? And then Jesus in verse 24 gives us the principle. He's given us this great example. And He says in verse 24, this is the biblical principle. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and stuff. And this is a more fundamental choice. And understand this, it is a choice. We make the decision of how we're going to see things. We make the decision of whether we are going to accept the Bible as true or whether we're going to cut out the parts that we don't like because they don't fit our worldview. If you start cutting out the Bible, you got some major problems. If there's one word of this book that's not true, then God's not God. Am I going to pick and choose what's true and not? Uh-uh. And He says, look, you can't serve both. So think about that. Can I serve both God and stuff? Well, usually the orders of both of those masters are diametrically opposed to each other. God says serve others. What does stuff say? Me. Yeah, serve yourself. Get all, like we talked about last week, grab all the gusto you can. You only go around once. God says walk by faith. Stuff says walk by what you can touch, what you can feel, what you can grab. There is no faith in stuff. It's all walking by sight. God says, I want you to be humble. The world says, no, man, you be all you can be. You be prideful. You be self-exalted. You be arrogant. You be proud is the word, right? God says, be humble. Total opposites. God says, set your mind on things above. The world says, no, no, no. Set your mind on things right here. That's all you need to worry about is where that next meal is coming from or where your next pair of tennis shoes are coming from. Are they Shaqs? Are they Jordans? What are they? Diametrically opposed. God says, think about things eternal. The world said, all you need to worry about is here and now because, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. Just worry about today. Diametrically opposed again. God says you need to love the light. You need to love the truth. You need to love the Word of God. The world says, and Jesus described this, he says, no, men rejected the light because they loved the darkness more. The world says, love the sin. Love whatever it is you're going after right now. We could go on and on. The orders are just opposite. You can't serve both. And see, one of the compromises that we make is we try to be fence sitters sometimes. We try to put our foot on both sides. We try to say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but. Let me tell you, that doesn't work. It didn't work in the Old Testament. Jot down 2 Kings 17:41. This was talking about comparing Israel to the Assyrians who were godless. He said, so these nations feared the Lord, yet served their carved images. They had it both ways. They were saying they served the Lord, but they were still serving carved images. Also, their children and their children's children have continued doing that even to this day. They compromised. You can't compromise. Jesus told us in Matthew 13 in the parable of the soils, he told us that there was a kind of soil that the word would fall on and it would be quickly received. It'd be received and people would look like they were growing. But in verse 22 of Matthew 13, he said, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word so that he becomes unfruitful. So we have this obligation to receive the word. We're supposed to receive it and we're supposed to let it do its work inside of us. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by what? The word of God. It's not by riches, by fame, by notoriety. It's hearing the Word of God. So when the Word of God is proclaimed, when it's set forth in front of you, we need to let that light in. If we're trying to serve somebody else, if we're trying to walk that tightrope of living in the world and being a Christian, John told us, you know, that's not going to work. He said it this way, friendship with the world is enmity against God. You're an enemy of God if you're a friend of the world. If we're following that world system, if we're following the materialistic goals of the world, if all we want is all we can get, and more and more and more and more, he says, you will not be godly. You will not walk in fellowship with God. So that's what Jesus is saying. It's a simple message, but he's still telling us that we should not prioritize stuff. And that when we prioritize stuff, it clouds our vision. Everything that we see then comes through there. So, real simple message this morning. The question is, he's asking, how is your vision? Do you have something that's blocking it? Do you have something that you're looking through the world and it's distorting your vision? You ever put on somebody else's glasses? I usually can't see, you know, and they get all wavy, all kinds of stuff. But that's the way we are. If we look through the wrong eyes, we look through the wrong glasses, the wrong windows, our vision is distorted. He is calling on us to be unique. He's calling on us to be different by letting the truth come in and letting it change our lives, not being influenced by money, not being influenced by material things, not being influenced by cares of this world, simply being influenced by the true light that comes in our eyes, which are the window to the soul. So, during our time of invitation this morning, the question is, how's your eyesight? Have you been to the eye doctor lately? Jesus is the great eye doctor too. He's the great physician, but he can fix your eyes too. He can fix your spiritual vision, and that's what he's calling on you to do today, is say, God, take this obstruction out of my eyes. Take this stuff-shaped cataract out of my eyes. Fix my vision so it is single, so it is healthy, and so it is good, so that I can see what you want me to see. And I'll tell you, the first thing, if you take that cataract out, the first thing you will see is Jesus Christ. He wants you to see what His Son did for you. He wants you to see that the only hope we have of eternal life, of salvation, of going to heaven, is to put our trust in Jesus Christ. If you can't see that, there's a big block ahead of you. And you know, the Bible tells us that the God of this world, Satan, has blinded us. He has that power to blind us because he puts so much stuff in front of us. We just can't see. So when you take that out, when God plucks that out of your eyes for the first time, you're going to see Jesus Christ hanging on that cross, and then you're going to see Jesus Christ coming out of that grave. If you see that today, put your faith in Jesus Christ. Say, God, I know that He died for my sins. You raised Him from the dead. I want to follow Him. I want to follow Him with clear vision. For those of us who are Christians, who've put our faith in Jesus Christ, we got to make sure we clean these things every once in a while, right? Y'all ever seen anybody whose glasses are so dirty, you hold them up, and you're like, how in the world do you see out of these? I do. Usually anytime Isaiah's raising his hand back there. I mean, and it takes like a Brillo pad to get them clean. I don't know what he does. But we can't be like that. We all have to watch our eyes. We all have to watch and make sure we're putting on that correct pair of glasses. We all have to watch and make sure that nothing is getting in the way of our vision of truth. Because God is truth. Right? And He said that I will give you truth and my truth will set you free. Any other fake truth puts us in bondage. So as we do our invitation today, as we pray, think about your eyesight. If it's not right, you can fix it today. God can fix it today. Let's pray. Father, we prayed through song this morning that you would open the eyes of our heart. Lord, I pray that you do that. I pray that there's someone here who has never seen your Son hanging on that cross, never seen your Son dying for them, never seen the truth that that's the only way to heaven. That's the only way to be with you forever. Lord, I pray you take all cloudiness away, that you make that image so clear to them that they know they have no way, no hope other than you. And Father, if we've accepted your Son as our Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that you keep us from putting things back into our field of vision. We knock things out of our life that aren't good. When we killed off that old man and we put on the new man, Lord, we try to be different. But sometimes, Lord, we sin. We let our vision get clouded again. Pray that you would clear up that vision also. Most of all, Lord, we glorify you today. We thank you for your Son who came to die for us, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. Father God, have your way this morning. If there's a response that needs to be made, I pray that the person or persons will make it. Father, give us the boldness to say, I've been blind for a long, long time, but now I see. And this we pray in his name. Amen.